What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums?
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. Coming up at the top of the hour, the first-year general manager of the New York Football Giants, Joe Shane, will stop by. And then at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, we have a pretty big college football game this weekend. You may have heard about it. It's between Georgia and Tennessee. So we will connect with former Georgia quarterback and does a great job as a CBS analyst, Aaron Murray. And then at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, we do have Alabama LSU this weekend. In addition to the Seattle Seahawks being a surprising team, we will connect with a friend of the show, Sean Alexander, the former league MVP and former running back with the Alabama Crimson Tide. But first up, producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
Hot Take Hickey.
I got to start with maybe the biggest news of the day. And sometimes when you have big news, you could have differentiating opinions. I don't think there's anyone right now that is upset with the possibility that finally the day may be coming that Daniel Snyder could be selling the Washington Commanders. Because Daniel Snyder is a disgrace, he is a fraud, and he's an incompetent buffoon when it comes to operating a football team in the National Football League. And when I got that alert today that there was a Forbes article out there that Dan Snyder has hired Bank of America to explore options for selling the Commanders, I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. I was waiting for this to be fake news. I was waiting for a journalist to get duped. I was waiting for some conflicting information to come on out. And after celebrating, I'm not even a Commanders fan, but I just feel for that fan base because I've been to that stadium. The stadium's a dump. The home fans don't even go there anymore. There's no passion. There's no energy from what was once a great fan base because Dan Snyder has sucked out all the hope from those great fans and makes them not even care anymore because they've been disappointed year in and year out, and it's just absurd thing after absurd thing to happen with the football team under the ownership of one Dan Snyder. So I'm waiting for that other shoe to drop. And then once you see the tweet of the Forbes article that's behind a paywall, someone went in there and quickly read the article and paid for it, and it's, oh, he could be looking to sell the entire team or just a minority stake. And the moment when I saw it was just a minority stake, I was like, oh, there's the other shoe that just dropped. And it was like, wah, wah, wah. But then that feeling, which went from euphoria, the highest of highs, to then the lowest of lows or disappointment, kind of then went right back up and skyrocketed when you saw the statement that the Commanders release. And it was this very simple statement that was very powerful and very telling. Dan and Tanya Snyder and the Washington Commanders announced today that they have hired Bank of America Securities to consider potential transactions. The Snyders remain committed to the team, all of its employees, and its countless fans to putting the best product on the field and continuing to set the gold standard for workplaces in the NFL. Now, that last part, I don't understand how they're committed to setting the gold standard for workplaces in the NFL with what they've been accused of and what some have been found of their wrongdoings in the past. But that first part that I read to you, Dan and Tanya Snyder and the Washington Commanders announced today that they have hired Bank of America Securities to consider potential transactions. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to sell the entire team. Maybe it is just a minority stake, and if it's a minority stake, it's okay, what really did happen here? But the fact that they're at least willing to admit that they're going to be exploring options to consider potential transactions is wonderful news, because it still gives me hope that maybe he's going to sell the entire team. Because if you recall, after the ESPN article, and then at the NFL owners meetings when Jim Irsay fired back and kind of spoke out of line for NFL standards, because very rarely do you see one of the owners attack another one of their own, because who knows how many skeletons they have buried in their closet. When Jim Irsay comes out and says, I think I have a lot of people that would support this, and I don't have the support of the owners, and there's probably enough there to think that Dan Snyder should sell the team, that was powerful. And right away, Dan Snyder's team responded to that, and they came up with the statement that said there is no reason for the Snyders to consider selling the franchise, and they won't. Well, today, you get the article from Forbes, and then you get the statement from the Commanders that they're at least entertaining the idea of potential transactions. So I said this when Jim Irsay, a few weeks ago, said his remarks, and I'll say it again. I think we are, and this is not a drill. I hope we're not getting fooled. I hope I'm not getting my hopes up to just get my heart ripped out. I really think we're getting close to Dan Snyder finally getting out of the National Football League. Now, he'll get rewarded with like $5 billion, $6 billion, however much the Commanders will sell. He'll make a profit. But I just want Dan Snyder to go away, because he does nothing positive for the NFL. And then, oh yeah, by the way, right before we got on the air, and this definitely has to do with why he's exploring potential transactions with the Commanders, and even adds more fuel to the fire on why he's trying to get out of the NFL or is finally for the first time contemplating it, J.P. Finley from NBC Sports D.C. said that the feds are now investigating the Commanders' finances. So this wasn't just, oh, I was annoyed with what Jim Irsay said, and now I don't want to be a part of the club of owners anymore in the National Football League because my feelings are hurt and I'm not wanted at the popular table at lunch. Now there's another reason here where more people and the feds are digging and investigating the Commanders. Say what you want about Dan Snyder. He could be a disgrace. He could be a pain in the ass. He could be an awful owner that has totally just sucked the life out of a football team's fan base. But the guy isn't a dummy. And I think what you're starting to see from Dan Snyder is him slowly, and it will continue to be slow, and I'm sure there will continue to be more embarrassments, where he is waving and starting to wave the white flag. And he knows if he gets out right now, or sooner rather than later, it may not be as ugly for him as it could eventually get. Because there's not a lot that we agree upon in this world. You know, we post a Twitter question, a poll question. It's usually like 50-50 responses. Or sometimes, when you think something is obvious, usually a lot of people just disagree. And people troll. They disagree just because they want to disagree. If we put up a poll question today, do you want to see the Commanders be sold? Now, we're never going to get 100%, but I would be shocked if that poll, in terms of yes, you want to see the Commanders sold, wouldn't be at least 95%. I think it would be like 98% to 2%. That is how much animosity there is directed, and justifiably so, how much animosity there is directed at Dan Snyder. So you don't pop the champagne yet. You don't dance on the grave yet. You maybe start to jump up and down like a fat kid in a candy store right now. But for years and years and years, what do we say about Dan Snyder? You could chant sell the team. You could bring signs to games that say sell the team, but you never thought that day was going to come because of how awful he is, how stubborn he is, and how much of a disgrace he is. And you're just going to have to deal with it because he owns the team and nothing was going to happen most likely, or it's very rare where the league starts to turn on an owner. Well, you saw a few weeks ago, Jim Irsay was the one that publicly started to turn and represent the owners in regards to Dan Snyder. And now you're seeing Dan Snyder take action where a few weeks ago, I'm not selling the team. I have no reason to sell. And now, yeah, we're hiring Bank of America to consider potential transactions. And you add that up with also now the feds investigating the Commanders. You're starting to see the signs where this day may finally be here, Commanders fans, where you could advance yourself into the future and you could start to just dream about the day where you free yourself from that awful, terrible, brutal owner of Dan Snyder. And the Commanders will never be good under Dan Snyder. You have no hope as long as Dan Snyder is the owner. And today, you're starting to rise slowly. You're not totally rising, but you're starting to rise slowly from the dead. And just maybe it's even likely that sooner rather than later, you will be free of the pain, of the torture, of the suffering that Dan Snyder has caused. Hickey, I think this is a very good day for the National Football League because finally, for the first time in a long time, Commanders fans can not only dream, but actually maybe, just maybe, feel a little reality that they're almost freeing themselves from this awful Dan Snyder.
I think you are allowed, if you're a Commanders fan or an NFL fan, to really go all in on celebration because I think this latest FBI investigation goes, timing-wise, goes to show you he's not selling out of the goodness of his heart. He's not selling just because he woke
up. Wait, you're telling me Dan Snyder's not doing something out of the goodness of his heart?
That's, I know. Shocking. Shocking.
I can't believe that. Wow.
He is a man who is very defiant. He is a man who sounds like he loves controversy. He's not, you know,
he's an a-hole.
He is, that's another way to describe it for sure. And now it takes a federal investigation, possible jail time, for him to be like, oh, I got to get out of here now before it's too late. I don't know if that's going to shut down the investigation if he sells and he's kind of free if the team's out of his hands. I don't know. But now you kind of see why he's selling. And I think it's a great, great day for the NFL and especially for a massive fan base that for the last 20 years has turned apathetic for good reason.
Now, the best thing that I saw in terms of have a little fun here, poke a little jokes at the entire Dan Snyder situation, I saw a random Twitter user, I forget who it was, I just saw this in passing before the show started, and it said, wow, it took the feds to finally investigate Dan Snyder on why his team elected to commit money to Carson Wentz for Dan Snyder to sell the team. Now, clearly that's a joke, but Hickey, as you know some of the pain that Carson Wentz could bring upon an organization, I thought that was a very good joke to bring a little levity to this entire situation.
I agree. Perfect.
And right now, this is from ESPN. The U.S. Attorney's Office in the Eastern District of Virginia has opened a criminal investigation into the allegations that the Commanders engage in financial improprieties, sources confirmed to ESPN. So there you go on that front. So you're exactly right. Not a coincidence that Dan Snyder today was the day that he elected to maybe leak out to Forbes that, hey, yeah, we're hiring Bank of America. Or you have this statement, yeah, we are exploring our options of potentially selling the team. It's going to happen. And this is the first time you could actually think that and then say it and actually believe it. Commanders fans, you should be kissing the floor today, and you should be looking up to the sky, and you should be saying, man, this guy is almost out of my life, and I feel so happy for you. And I really, really, really hope that the news that's out there today and the thoughts that are out there today end up coming true, because you deserve it. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, good on Charles Barkley, good on Shaquille O'Neal, and good on Reggie Miller. And where the heck is the commissioner of the NBA and Adam Silver? We discuss next.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball.
A fear you can't shake.
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
And you can thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hickey, I have to admit something. I grew up as a Nets fan. I love Jason Kidd. Eventually, love Richard Jefferson. Kenyon Martin, right? Some of the guys that were on those Nets teams when I was growing up as a kid, where they did go to two NBA finals. The Brooklyn Nets, I now hate. In terms of the Brooklyn Nets in 2022. Kevin Durant the other day, and this is not where we should start, but Kevin Durant created this mess, so I guess it does start with him. Now, he's not responsible necessarily for the actions of Kyrie Irving. He's not. But he was the one that wanted to hitch his wagon to Kyrie Irving. And when it comes to Kevin Durant, he sets the tone for the organization, an organization with zero accountability. And how Kevin Durant, in the aftermath of the Steve Nash firing, and I had no problem with Steve Nash getting fired, to say that he was surprised by it, just shows how delusional and how obnoxious this organization can be when guys are doing things and then don't just own up to it. And it gets to a much more serious scale when it gets to the matter of Kyrie Irving. But Kevin Durant, this offseason, said he wanted out of Brooklyn. He did not want to be a part of Sean Marks or Steve Nash's regime anymore. Remember, the same guy that once praised the Nets culture that he joined and loved Kenny Atkinson, then stabbed Kenny Atkinson in the back, and then brought in Steve Nash. So he had such an issue with Steve Nash and Sean Marks said he wanted out, and then all of a sudden this year, Steve Nash gets fired, what, 7 games into the season? But Kevin Durant, who has so much clout and has so much power in a player-driven league, he's surprised by the Steve Nash firing. It's phony, it's just ridiculous, and it's a flat-out lie. So that starts everything with Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant, who should have just embraced being the villain in Golden State and just gave the middle finger to everyone that said, oh, we didn't like you going to Golden State and just won championship after championship after championship. If he just wasn't so insecure with the perception about him on Twitter, he would have still been in Golden State and his career would have been much better off. So to some extent, I don't really have sympathy for Kevin Durant because he created this mess. Now, separating Kevin Durant from Kyrie Irving, Kyrie Irving, let's just call him what he is. He's a clown. Okay? There's been so many years of evidence of this guy being a clown. And anytime you dare question Kyrie Irving, he plays the victim card. Oh, I'm just a hooper. Oh, everyone just needs to admire my basketball skills and admire the paintings that I'm making. Kyrie Irving is a fraud. And anytime someone questions him or wants to have a conversation with him, he treats you as you're insignificant. Let's just call it what it is. And look how he treated that reporter the other night when the reporter was asking about the anti-Semitic film that he was tweeting about. And Kyrie doesn't see what was wrong with that? And Kyrie acts like he did nothing wrong and, oh, you're just trying to make an Instagram clip to become famous again and to get your moment in the spotlight? I can't stand that guy. And what is disgraceful, too, is that there's no accountability in the NBA. There's no consistency in the NBA. And it's embarrassing that we have to put out a search party to try to find Joseph Tsai, the owner of the Nets, who has no control over his organization, and Adam Silver. Where is Adam Silver on this stuff? Nowhere to be found. And it's embarrassing that former players who are now in the media have to have the most sense and actually say the most important things when dealing with Kyrie Irving and the anti-Semitic film that he was promoting and that he was sharing. And those three players were Reggie Miller, Shaquille O'Neal, and Charles Barkley. I applaud Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, and Reggie Miller. They had balls. Unlike the lack of cojones that Joseph Tsai and Adam Silver have displayed in the last week. And there won't be a punishment. There won't be a fine. And I could sit here and get all worked up about it and yell until the cows come home. It won't mean anything. Because the NBA players run the league. That's what it is. And 9 times out of 10, you could say whatever you want if you're an NBA player and get away with it. Just the way that it is. Because this commissioner has no backbone. He has no control over his league. Think about what Kyrie Irving was sharing, and we're just supposed to say, oh, yeah, everything's fine. Don't worry. It's just Kyrie being Kyrie. Like, what? What world do we live in? And there's a lot of good causes that NBA players promote and NBA players try to raise awareness about. And that's the shame of this all. What Kyrie Irving does groups a lot of NBA players together because you know how people now generalize in this society. Oh, it's a talk show host. Oh, it's an NBA player. Oh, it's a businessman. And this makes the NBA players look bad, and no one's really talking out about it. So Kyrie Irving, I can't stand the guy. And you know how we open up the show talking about how Commanders fans have just had the life suck out of them from one Dan Snyder? Kyrie Irving, for me, is really sucking the fun out of what was the NBA and also what was my Nets fandom. Because they're such a clown show. And it's one thing to be a clown show because of on the court matters. If you can't win, not everyone's going to win a championship. I know he won one in Cleveland, but you get the point, in Brooklyn. But when it comes to this stuff where I would think this is an Onion article. If we were just to insert another player and say, oh, this is what he was sharing, you wouldn't think it's real. You would think it's fake. But for Kyrie Irving, I guess nothing he does anymore can surprise me. So I got to give a lot of credit to Shaq, to Reggie Miller, and to Charles Barkley because they said what was obvious. And it's amazing how the leaders, and I say that in air quotes, of this sport, Joseph Tsai, the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, who sent out one just tweet that was a bunch of empty things, like empty words, and Adam Silver are nowhere to be found. It's, you know, you have someone do something disgraceful in an organization, and where is the owner of the team that employs Kyrie Irving, and where is the commissioner of the league? It's baffling to me. It really is. And I've said this for years, and I've gotten pushback for this for years. I think Adam Silver is an overrated commissioner. I don't think he's that good of a commissioner. And everyone praises this guy as if he's the greatest commissioner in the world. Now, I know the bar is low. It's really low for commissioners. But recently, what has this guy done that is so spectacular? And in a big moment like this, he's nowhere to be found and he's hiding? It's disgraceful.
It really is. Let's listen up. This is Shaquille O'Neal talking about Kyrie Irving last night on TNT.
You know, the game that we used to love and we promote, it brings people together. And it hurts me sometimes when we have to sit up here to talk about stuff that divides the game. Now we got to answer for what this idiot has done. I stand for equality of all people. I've always been like that. Don't matter what religion, don't matter where you're from. I can say shalom, salam aleikum, ni hao, say bon, because that's how I was raised. So I don't really want to sit up here and answer questions for what he's done. You know, if you're looking at me, it's my job to make people happy. I can't speak for him and, you know, answer for you know, what he's doing. It's obviously by his answers and the way he answers, he doesn't really care.
And Shaq's right. He does not care whatsoever. Because if you speak against Kyrie Irving, he then thinks he's better than you and then tries to make the whole situation a joke. And you saw that with the reporter that was questioning Kyrie Irving a few days ago. Let's listen up to Charles Barkley talking about Kyrie Irving's post on TNT.
I can't believe that we ain't talking about that. We're talking about this idiot. And when you say, if I say, hey, I'm agreeing with this movie, this book or whatever, I'm agreeing with it. First of all, you know I don't do any social media, but when you're somebody as great as basketball like him, people gonna listen to you what you say. And there's some fringe people out there, but like I say, I blame the NBA. He should have been suspended.
And he's exactly right. Like Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal are saying the obvious things, and they at least have guts. They at least have some courage to say what's right instead of Joseph Tsai, who just says what you wanted to hear but then doesn't act on it. And Adam Silver is nowhere to be found. And finally, I thought this was the best out of the three players last night. I thought Charles Barkley was really good. Shaquille O'Neal was really good. But I really think Reggie Miller did an unbelievable job here. This is Reggie Miller last night on TNT.
In years past, this league has been great because the players have led the way and they have strong voices. When Donald Sterling stepped in it, when Robert Sarver just recently stepped in it, our voices from our leaders in the basketball community and the players were very vocally strong and some type of discipline be handed down or be gone. The players have dropped the ball on this case when it's been one of their own. It's been crickets, and that's disappointing because this league has been built on the shoulders of players being advocates. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And if you're going to call out owners, and rightfully so, then you've got to call out players as well. You can't go silence in terms of this for Kyrie Irving. I want to hear the players and their strong opinions as well, just the same way we heard about Robert Sarver and Donald Sterling.
It's almost as if the entire NBA either does not care or they are afraid of Kyrie Irving. And I'm sick and tired of the nonsense that Kyrie Irving consistently spews. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Good job on Reggie Miller. Good job on Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s.
This holiday, treat the whole family to Hannah Anderson's best pajamas ever. Unbelievably soft organic cotton pajamas your whole family will want to wear all season long. Dozens of one-of-a-kind iconic prints, guaranteed to find one you and your family will love. Turn everyday moments into holiday memories with the original family pajamas. Hannah Anderson, best pajamas ever. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I know the game wasn't officially over when we signed off last night, but it was basically over. And you knew that the Philadelphia Phillies were going to be taking a 2-1 series lead as they just hit home run after home run after home run in Game 3 of the World Series. They are up 2-1 in the World Series. You do have Game number 4 coming your way later on tonight at 8:03 p.m. Eastern time. Christian Javier going up against Aaron Nola. And either way, regardless if the Phillies win or lose, since Gibson got in the game last night, they did not use Noah Syndergaard. Noah Syndergaard is expected to start Game 5 of the World Series. Tonight, Ryan, it's a must-win. A must-win for the Houston Astros because you know how Philadelphia is. You know how raucous of a crowd that is. It does not surprise me that the Phillies won Game 3, that first World Series game last night whatsoever. Before the series started, I said they split in Houston. Then I did think Philadelphia was going to take 2 out of 3 in Philadelphia. And then I said that the Astros would win Game 6 and 7. Tonight, the World Series is really going to get decided because if Philadelphia wins back-to-back games and has an opportunity to clinch in front of their home fans on what would be tomorrow night, I have a tough time thinking, even with how experienced and how good the Astros are, that the Astros would be able to take down Philadelphia in front of those crowd and those fans where the energy would be. You have to have this game tonight if you are Houston, or I have a tough time seeing this thing then go back to H-Town.
Especially with how hot the Phillies have been, you can't fuel that, right? Because this is a team that, again, barely stuck in the playoffs, and they've only gotten better as each round goes on. If you allow them at home to take a 3-1 lead, like you said, a chance to clinch the World Series tomorrow, I have a tough time seeing the Astros bouncing back, let alone winning that game, and then going and winning 3 in a row. Even the series tonight kind of calmed some of that momentum, and at least give yourself a chance, no matter what happens in Game 5 tomorrow, to go home, home field advantage. You have a chance to win on your home turf, whether that's in Game 6 or win 2 in a row in Game 7.
And not that a series is over after one game. And the Astros could still easily, it's 2-1, they could easily come back and win this series. But game number one is still the one that sticks out to me. Because you talked about it. Even though both teams are off, you had the Phillies who got red hot in the last month. Really, talking about a month from today. They got red hot down the stretch in September. They were kind of limping a little bit. They get into the postseason, and if you recall, they're down in that first game to the Cardinals, like 4-0 or whatever it was in game one. They come back, 2-0 it was, and then they come back in that ninth inning, and they end up winning the game, and they win game two, and we know what happened going up against Atlanta, and then we know they get to the NLCS, and they quickly take care of the Padres. But I was wondering how that off time, leading from the National League Championship Series into the World Series, was going to affect the Philadelphia Phillies. And at first, in Game 1, the Astros jump out to a 5-0 lead, and it didn't even matter. So that Game number 1 in the World Series really did make you, if you had any doubts about the Phillies heading into the World Series, really respect this baseball team. And when you watch the Phillies, if you just look at the way that they play, they have two really good pitchers in Wheeler and Nola. But their bats are awesome. And I think it's the way, as you try to figure out how you win in the postseason, put the ball in play, contact people, say, home runs are what win now in Major League Baseball. And like on paper, the Phillies don't have this great bullpen because everyone talks about the importance of starting pitching in a bullpen. Yeah, you got to pitch well, clearly. That's half the game. But the way that they could just overtake the game with guys hitting the long ball like Rhys Hoskins, Bryce Harper, who has just been sensational, having the postseason of his life finally. You look at guys like Kyle Schwarber, Nick Castellanos. They have so many guys, Rye, in that lineup
that could just mash and that could take you deep on any pitch. And it's fun. It's a fun style of play. And when you're hot like that and you're playing in a city like Philadelphia, everyone just feeds off those home runs and you know them what the energy is. It was crazy last night how many home runs that they were hitting and the excitement that was transpiring in Philadelphia.
But on the flip side, also shows you the vulnerability of if the home runs are not going out, this is a pretty easy lineup to take care of. Like even last night, they had 5 home runs. Great game. Everyone's hitting them. They were on fire. The Phillies got 7 hits in the game. That's it. 7 hits. So it's not like outside of those home runs, they were beating up Lance McCullers or this Astros bullpen. It was a fact that to their credit, they teed them up and they capitalized on the hits they got. And again, setting 5 out of the 7 out of the ballpark. But if you're the Astros pitchers, especially, if you're missing the barrels, you're going to have a lot of success. You are going to pitch well, and you're going to be able to limit this Phillies offense, which, again, is even more important in this Game 4 to not allow the home run ball to beat you like it did in Game 3.
It's kind of funny, too, because obviously you've been following this Phillies team all throughout the season. And I remember when I was at the Shore this summer in July, no one was saying a positive thing about Nick Castellanos. And then Rhys Hoskins, remember when Rhys Hoskins had that error up against the Padres where he misplayed that ball? And look, like Rhys Hoskins has responded. Nick Castellanos has responded. There's just sometimes when a team just gets hot and it really comes out of nowhere. And that's why when you look at all these sports, baseball's always the toughest one to predict. It really is. Like, yes, you have times where a football team is a wild card team and gets to the Super Bowl. We've seen in the Stanley Cup, if you have a hot goaltender, you could go win a championship. But for baseball, I feel like a lot of times, and you just look at recently, look at the NL East teams that have won, like the Braves and the Nationals and the Phillies, they did not get off to these good starts to the season. And then second half of the year, not even really the entire way, in the last month of the season, last few weeks of the season, they just get hot. And it creates this carryover effect into the postseason where you look at the Phillies. They fired Joe Girardi. They were like 7 or 8 games below 500. And now they're 2 wins away from a World Series. Yeah, I hate to just kind of give you the cliche or the cheesy broadcaster kind of saying with baseball, but you really can't predict baseball. If you would have told me before the postseason started that the Phillies would be 2 wins away from the world, that right when the postseason started, I'm talking about the wild card round, I would have never believed it. You had the Braves, 101 wins. You had the Mets, 101 wins. Neither of those teams even got to the league championship series. And the Phillies, who were the third team in the NL East, are now 2 wins away from hoisting that piece of metal that the commissioner, Rob Manfred, calls it, which is the commissioner's trophy.
Dodgers, 111 wins. Yeah. Did not get to the NLCS. It just, I think also what leads into it, feeds into it a little bit, is the format. This year, obviously, it's a little different than past, but it's like, usually it's a 1-game wild card play in 1 game, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's do or die. Then you have a 5-game series. Like, they're not, until you get to the championship series and World Series, obviously, it's best of 7, it's a lot of short series, and if you are hot, you get one thing go your way. A lot of those series kind of flip pretty quickly where you have the Dodgers, boom, out in the NLDS in 5 games. You have the Braves, boom, out in 4 games. Like, you could be the best team, but sometimes, again, as we're kind of seeing now, best team versus hottest team, you'd rather be the hottest team right now than the best team.
Well, 2 things. Number 1, you have to get hot yourself. And then number 2, you sometimes need the breaks to go your way. You just said it. Like, I talked about the Mets. I talked about the Braves. The Mets eliminated in the wild card round against the Padres. The Mets started to trend in the wrong direction the last 2 weeks of the season. You then have a team like the Braves that you go up against. There's a lot of familiarity against them. You were able to take them down, give the credit to the Phillies. But when the Phillies got to the league championship series, they're going up against the Padres, not the Dodgers. So you need to get some breaks to go your way as well, but based off their own merit, even if the Dodgers were there, like, I don't know, maybe the Phillies would have beat the Dodgers with how hot the Philadelphia Phillies have been. But I see a lot of people, and I wonder what the reaction's going to be if the Phillies win 2 more games, because you brought up the format. Do you think a lot of people
are going to crush this format, because in one breath, you could tell me everything that happened in the NL. In the AL, the best team in the AL still got to the World Series in the Houston Astros. So it's tough for me to really knock the format, because in the AL, the Astros were able to find their way to the World Series. And I get the AL wasn't as competitive as the NL. But in the NL, it got flipped all upside down, where it was just the hot team, not the team that was for the majority of the season the best team.
Oh, no, I love the format. I mean, again, it's you have it, like, there's no disadvantage or no advantage for a certain team. It's just the fact that, again, in a shorter series, if you are that hotter team and you could steal one, especially within the first game or two, like, you get hot and you have the momentum riding. But, again, I love it. I think sometimes the postseason, the NBA and NHL is too long. I like how it's quick, bang, bang, boom, and you're sitting here. We're talking about a game four where it's like, this series on the line. You know, it's rare you get like that early in a series where you're saying this could be the decider. But
let me just ask you this, though. Do you feel as if the baseball regular season could be trimmed down a little bit? Like, if they wanted to cut 10 or 15 games out of the regular season, I would be on board with it. Especially when you add the extra teams now to the postseason. 162 games, for me, is just too much. Now, can I guess how you're going to respond to this?
Sure.
And maybe I'm going to be dead wrong here, but I feel like you are such a traditionalist when it comes to baseball sometimes that you don't want to see any of the 162 get trimmed. Am I dead wrong when I say your line of thinking on that?
Sort of. Like, if you want to give me a plan that shortens the season and makes it a little more exciting, I'm in. The only thing is, like, 10, 15 games, I don't see the differences. Like, if you want to make it 162 to 150, like, same thing. Like, just keep it 162. Then an extra week and a half baseball is not going to really do anything to get either, you know, races more exciting or really shave any time off the calendar outside of November.
Well, I will say,
if you want to go like 130.
If we went to let's say 145, maybe the Phillies don't even make the postseason this year. As crazy as that sounds, maybe they don't. If you trim this down to 145, but 162, I've always really have felt like it's too many games. But right now, the baseball postseason has been an instant success, and there's been so many things that have been unpredictable. Like, the AL was predictable. Anyone could have seen that the Astros were going to get to the World Series. But in the NL, the debates were, is it the Mets? Is it the Braves? Is it the Dodgers? And it ends up being the Phillies. And Philadelphia right now is going wild. It's a raucous atmosphere. And really, the two cities that go crazier than anyone when they have a successful team, it's the Buffalo Bills, right? That Buffalo fan base. And then anytime a Philadelphia team is winning, it's just wild. Like, they were greasing up the poles when they got to the World Series. And now they're two wins away from getting another championship to Philadelphia. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we will connect with the general manager of the New York Football Giants. The Giants are a surprising team at 6-2, and things are off to an excellent start for one Joe Shane, who hired Brian Daboll, and the Shane Daboll regime has been super duper successful. So his team is in a bye week, Joe Shane, and he's going to join us coming up in 5 minutes on CBS Sports Radio.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s,